Blog Talk Radio.
The landlord feared a visit. There's lots of discos down below. Says I'm doubling the rent, cause I'm building condemned. You're gonna help me buy city hall. Oh, we can. You know we can.
Christmas song.
Oh, without a doubt. So you're in, shall I say Christmas hell or Christmas purgatory? By the way, say hello to Rach. Hi, Rach.
Hi, everybody. No, I'm in Christmas carol hell. Like,
so what's going on?
Talk
to me.
That is apparently it is official starting November 1st now is the time they start playing Christmas music on corporate radio. And let me tell you, it has been hellacious for me for the past, well, since November 1st, because I work in a store that has piped in music and... So, yeah, it is a 24-hour playlist of nothing but revamped, modern, like, poppy, hip-hop, and R&B-style Christmas songs and mashups.
So
the sad thing is they
not...
don't even have a lot of diversity. It's just on 24 hours a day. The songs repeat themselves pretty fucking regularly, as is according to my tally that I was keeping last night. So
I take it you haven't escaped Whamageddon yet, have you?
Oh, God, no. I lost it on my first day back to work. I actually went on the second, and my question about that was, do you lose Whamageddon if it's last Christmas, but by a different singer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, it doesn't matter because I've already fucking lost. And yes, I have already been assaulted by Mariah Carey more times than I can count. Like, I am seriously considering filing charges against that woman.
Yeah, I can understand that.
My ears
want
a restraining order.
You know, it's a little different than our anti-Christmas playlist, which we do each year. And by the way, if you're sick of Christmas music already, come check out our anti-Christmas playlist that we do every year, Rachel and I. and just check the archive. You'll find a couple of them for sure.
Yeah, we've done it every year for what, at least 3 years now, I think. And I don't know, you're gonna have to work really hard at convincing me to do it this year, Carl. Like, we might have to do it when you're down here physically and you can like stranglehold me into doing a show about anything that involves Christmas, because not only am I getting corporate Christmas music piped in, like shoved up my ass with toothpaste as lube. I mean, I'm almost in fucking Requiem at this point. So I'm also having to put out Christmas jewelry and Christmas clothing and Christmas accessories and God damn it. Oh, wow. Yeah, I been gritting my teeth pretty hard this past few days, Carl. I think you know I've bitched at you pretty solidly since November 2nd.
You know, I'm just wondering how many tacky Christmas sweaters with reindeer you've put out so far.
We haven't gone that far yet because I guess like last week, this past week was when we got the Christmas jewelry in. So we have a lot of stuff that's for like Christmas parties, like sexy red and green dresses and shit. So I'm assuming the tacky sweaters are coming because, well, we sell tacky sweaters anyway. Oh, I didn't say that. So yeah, I haven't put out anything specifically with reindeers and stuff on it clothing wise. I have as far as Christmas jewelry, but however, and Christmas crowns and Christmas sashes and Christmas gloves and fun.
I just want to see the Christmas nose rings. That's all.
Oh, we don't sell jewelry like that. We don't sell body jewelry.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, if we're going there, you know, Christmas butt plugs galore, come on. Anal beads that look
that
like little...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, the Hubs, he has figured out, because you remember I showed you, I think we sent you the pictures of the giant spider web, right?
Yes.
Okay, so my husband and, well, actually my kids helped him with that one. I didn't do shit with the spider web this year. Built a giant spider web in our front yard out of, like, you know, rope and stuff, and it's massive, hanging between these two trees. And, you know, it's kind of cool looking, and it really did take them a lot of work, and he doesn't really want to take it down right now, but he figured out how we can keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this really great idea for Halloween that, you know, you make like a body bag kind of thing. Well, instead of that, we're going to make a big cocoon and stick a Santa hat on top of it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, yeah, you know, Sven's going to be there with all his Santa shit, though we might, you know, give him some antlers or something, but we'll figure it out. But, yeah, so we're definitely going to have the creepy Christmas display, but I'm totally here for it. Don't worry,
true.
We'll have some cute Christmas shit in the house. We always do, but we decorate more inside the house than we do outside, so at this point we're just looking for excuses to keep some of our awesome Halloween decorations out there.
That's a good thing. And by the way, there's a little special gift that is on its way to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Golly gee. Surprise, surprise. Well, and frankly, I feel like my Christmas gift on the way this year is you. I mean, Carl, we have got to fucking talk about you. I mean, you know, I got my Christmas music bitch out of the way. Thank you for allowing me that. But what the fuck is going on in Carl world? Because, wow.
Yeah, no shit. Now, if you haven't been, okay, if you've been wondering why there's been no shows for almost 3 weeks, last 3 weeks have been pretty insane. Now, they started off really well. We had the Chaka Go Go Film Festival, and Eric Eichelberger put together, and I became part of it, and Scooter was there, and met wonderful people and met Tina Krause and Charles Lincoln and all these people that had great films there. And it was really, really nice. Met Peggy Sarno and smoked cigarettes outside the theater and talked about porn stars, and it was wonderful. And then Josh, our artist friend that works with us here at Deviant Legion, came up with his fiance and his two kids and her two kids or her two daughters, and they got married. And I was there last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. And that was wonderful. And really had a good time. Now, I did, however, my debit card was then compromised and had to deal with that. And that was lovely. And if that was the only bad thing that happened, then it would have been just fine. But it wasn't. So they got married on Wednesday. They were out doing a nice little ride on one of those horse-drawn carriages. I get a phone call from my landlord saying that the water's out and just to be aware of that. So I got home Wednesday night. Water was out. He tried to get me involved in this meeting downstairs, and I basically balked at that. And I guess I did see him rush out and yell at him and so on and so forth. So Thursday, the electricity goes off and the heat. I was like, what the fuck's going on? I'm getting no answer. And Friday morning, I decided to stay with a friend of mine Thursday night. Friday morning, I got a message. There was a nice little notice on all the doors that the building supervisor had come in and basically deemed that the house was not livable, and we were asked to be out by Monday. So, had to pull shit together. Very good friend of mine, Norman Pores. I've known Norm for over 40 years. Helped me out. We got things out of there, and even after church. What?
I said, you're so old.
Well, you know, I am. I got the walker out. Fuck you. Anyway, so we got stuff out even after church on last Sunday. And then basically we had to figure out what was going on. And then we got a call from them. Oh, they're coming Wednesday. But they didn't come this past Wednesday. They didn't come yesterday. They didn't come Thursday. I have yet to get any confirmation from them whether or not we could stay here. Now, in the meanwhile, we were able to get electricity back on. I basically paid $1,000 to get the water going. Now, I'm not the only one that's going to pay for that. Other people are going to throw in on that, but I had the money to do it. And we also had to change all the locks because we don't want the landlord to come in. And this is all stuff that the police told us to do.
Yeah, the landlord, the former landlord, we should say, is no longer allowed anywhere near the premises. And if he even so much as tries to look at that place, then the police will be called and he will be detained. So there's
that. No, well, also, he has definitely been charged with at least negligence. I've got to check the docket on Monday, see if there's anything else that he's been charged with. We have families here. So there are four kids, including a two-year-old, almost three-year-old, that lives in the room right next to me. And she's adorable, and she has some health problems, some respiratory problems she has to deal with. And so, yeah, you know, there's endangering children and shit like that too involved in this. So I'm wondering all what's going on there.
Well, they're
going to
take a while because they're like fully investigating now. It's not just a a little investigation. Now it's a really, really big investigation, because once you get charged with negligence, that's when they start looking into more shit they can charge you with. And I mean, right. Honest to God, Carl, and I hate to do this, you know, I always joke about you being so old, but fucking use it this time, because you are over the age of 65 years old. You qualify as a senior, and technically what he did to you guys is fucking elder abuse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm not even joking. I know it sounds kind of funny, but and I'm not calling you an old man just to fuck with you at this point. I'm saying, like, I want that man hit with every fucking charge he can. I want him endangering the welfare of a minor. I want elder abuse. I want, like, accidentally sang a musical on top of a carton on a street corner, because I know that that's illegal in New York. Like, seriously, there's a law about that, about singing musical numbers on street corners. I want that man to burn in the hell he created for you guys, because you've been dealing with this for a really, really long time. Like, well, as long as you've lived there.
No, same with Angus, my poor mate, who he and I are real close at this point. He's been here longer than I have. And the funny thing is, he was great at the beginning, our landlord. He was fantastic. Not now. Now, he really fucked himself as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no. And I mean, it's not like you guys didn't try to warn him. Like, I want to put this out there for all of you listening to us. And if you are still listening to us, bitch, right now, thank you, because we just needed to get this out there. Like, this guy was evil. And do not let people walk all over you like that when you have rights, because thank God you live in New York, Carl. If this had happened to me in Arkansas, I would have had to tank it with a fucking smile on my face while handing him the rent check still. Even if mm-hmm. we were in the middle of litigation, until the court files, like, fines and says you can stop paying rent, you don't stop paying the landlord rent ever. Even if, it's bad. So I am really happy that you currently live in a state that has tenants' rights. But I'm really happy about, you know, something else you need to tell people about. Notice I said currently living in.
Yeah. We'll talk about that at the end, because we are going to talk about some good things too.
Absolutely wonderful things. Christmas fucking miracles, okay?
Yeah, you don't like Christmas, so there you go. Thanksgiving miracles. Think about that, okay? Anyway, so we did get someone look at the boiler. The boiler is fucked. They're talking $3,000 to $4,000 worth of work, and he's not even going to guarantee that it'll work after that. But
didn't you say something about potential sabotage on that?
Yeah. Let me put it this way: the electricity went off because they called him. They called the electricity and told him to turn it off, and it had been paid until the 22nd of November. So that we know that the landlord did. We know that.
I didn't hear that part. Oh, Carl.
We just got that confirmed today.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't talked to you much today.
Yeah.
So he knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, his thing is that the people downstairs destroyed something, so he turned off everything to punish them. But, of course, there are other people here. You know, not just one family.
No, and if it was that kind of thing, you know, get the police involved. You're allowed to get the police involved on your
tenant. Oh, no, trust me, the police are the ones that told us what to do.
Well, no, I was saying, you know, for him, like, if the tenants were, you know, destroying shit like that, he should have gotten the police involved on them. You don't turn off the electricity and, like, sabotage your water and boiler and shit like that, because you said too, and this is just, you know, for me listening to you all week, you also said that there was hemming and hawing about, and this was before we knew all the other shit, this was like the first thing we heard, was that there was one thing that, you know, it might have been obviously the kids broke or something, you know, hanging on it, jumping off of it, but it looked pretty well like the water had been sabotaged too.
Right.
And you said that came from, you know, the plumber that was initially there to try and fix it before the electricity got turned off.
He has a guy that's sort of his, like, go-to fix-it guy. And I like his guy. I'm not going to say his name, but I like his guy. But there are shit, there's shit he did that he has no
I don't like his
for.
Guy. You know why? Because his guy was doing a shady as shit job, and he knows that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He knows that. You know when you're going in and doing a job and you don't really know how to do it properly. You just know how to basically make it work for now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No. I don't like the guy. He might have had a nice personality, but he was going in there and supposedly fixing all of this messed up stuff. And, Carl, you are living in a fucking death trap. I mean, come on now. It's not like New York has the greatest standard of living. I'm not saying it's a disgusting state, but I am saying, you know, in the city, it's not like you guys have the greatest standard of living there, okay? And the fact that this guy gets the building shut the fuck down, you were living in a death trap. And his handyman is partially fucking responsible for that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I kept after the landlord, like, you need to get, you know, licensed people in here, you, particularly on certain things. And even his guy says, I really don't know what to do. And yet, you know, he's told to do it. So I don't really blame his guy, though. You know, it's what it is. You know, shit landlords use shit.
His
you know,
guy wasn't malicious,
no.
But his guy was doing fucked up work and taking money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I understand. We all have those, you know, those things. He, I'm sure he needed the money to support his family and all of that, but that does not mean he is any less to blame in this, because he also could have reported the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he knew anything about what he was doing and the shitty things that he was doing and the shitty way he was rigging stuff, he could have been a whistleblower, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, he is just as much to blame.
So where we are now is the signs have not been taken off. I have a message into the housing authority, but we now have electricity. We now have water. We've changed the locks. As far as the boiler situation, we all have electric heaters, and the ones we have are the safest ones out there, the oil-based registers. So you know, we're in the best shape we can, and plus also the water boiler, the you know, that heats the hot water, will probably be fixed by the midweek. And so, basically, we've taken this house and we've made it livable again. And we did that.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
At 100% cost to you guys, but...
But of course, now there's a couple things. Okay, so he has definitely been charged, and he's on the docket, okay? For a criminal, for crimes. Okay? It's against the law what he did. We are in a position, we're going to have a long conversation on Monday night, everybody. I've got that already set, to look at suing him. And there are various things that we can do. Now, the interesting thing, I was doing a little work today. He is a landlord. He has several properties. Okay? And at best count, he's got like seven or eight properties. And so if we sue him, a lien can be put on those properties if he doesn't want to pay or he can't pay. So eventually we would get the money. And so I'm going to work with them and hopefully get someone from Nassau County Legal Aid to help them and get them going. I may do it a little different because my financial situation is a little better. So unless it's a class action suit, if it is a class action suit, I'll just step onto that. If it's not, or they deem I can't do it, then I'm going to take them to small claims and get as much money as I can get out of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's what's going on. And one thing I'm going to tell you, okay? Now, I tend to be pretty nice to people. And you know, I always tried to treat him well. And by the way, as a tenant, there was never a time I was late, ever. Always paid on time. And, of course, I paid for November before this all shit happened. Okay? So you know, I mean, he definitely owes me money. But the point being, you know, oh, I'm a nice guy. He's not going to do anything. Don't underestimate me. That's the biggest fault a lot of people have. If you really, really piss me off, just watch me. He has no idea what he's unleashed.
Well, and that's just it. That's on him, though. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, it's on him. But don't underestimate me, people. Because I'm going to tell you, I'll bring the fucking hurt. No doubt. So that's my week of hell. So I think maybe we should talk about something that's a good thing that happened. And I think you got one of those, don't you?
I did have a pretty hellacious week. I mean, it started out with a store-wide inventory, and that was not any fun at all, let me just tell you.
No, inventory is never fun, ever.
And then, I mean, so I got to be there at 6:45 in the morning. And then I got to leave. I was supposed to leave at noon, but I didn't get to leave until the inventory was done. So I was not very happy that people kept standing around talking instead of doing shit because I was the one that had to come back that night and close the store all by myself.
Oh,
and because my coworker called in. And then the next day, she quit. So I got to work the next three nights by myself, too. While suffering to Christmas music and really just wanting to punch things. But yeah, I also, at the beginning of the week, the night or the day of the inventory, actually, Hubs called me to let me know that we had received a visit from the local animal control. Because we have Carl, we have large dogs. We have three large pits, and actually now we rescued another dog last week. Don't fucking judge me. So now we have four large pits and a small, tiny dog. Well, they're pit mixes mostly. One of them's purebred. But anyway, apparently one of our dogs likes to get over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And we never really prioritized fixing the fence because for most of the time that we've lived in this house for the past less than a year, the house next door has been boarded up and almost condemned looking. So we didn't suspect that they were going to have anybody moving in and that they were going to have anybody moving in, like, really fucking quickly. So when the neighbors moved in a few months ago, I left them a nice little treat jar on the doorstep and, you know, gave them my information. Was like, oh, yeah, our dog Bernie, she likes to take a little roam about sometimes. You know, we're working on that. But, you know, if she ever gets over in your yard, she's super fucking sweet. But here's my number. Call me if, like, that ever happens. So one time I get a message that, you know, their boyfriends are coming over with the boyfriend's dogs for the weekend, and they wanted to make sure that Bernie didn't get over or anything. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. So I extra watched her, and then it wasn't that maybe a month ago I got a message that Bernie had been in their yard and was barking at their windows. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I didn't see the text message until like 20 minutes later, so I did feel really bad, and I ran over there and got my dog. But frankly, I didn't even know she had gotten out of the house. So I was a little pissed. But the dog's been grounded for a while now because of this. She's not allowed outside without somebody, and we have to keep a very close eye on her, you know, all of this shit. But apparently animal control came to visit us, and we're like, yeah, can't do anything now because your dogs aren't out. And we're like, they're usually not. They've only ever gotten out of the house. That was when we first moved here, and they stay in the front yard. But yeah, anyway, so they just kind of let us know that the next officers that show up might not be them and might not be so nice, and we all know what that means when it comes to animal control, and especially right. when it comes to Memphis Animal Services. MAS is notorious for instant euthanasia. And at this point, they had a bad case of kennel cough breakout. So they're euthanizing, like, every fucking thing. And, yes, that's why we ended up rescuing a dog last week. But the whole thing was we got the call from animal control. And long story short, the neighbors apparently didn't think that calling the police on the dog, which is what their landlord told them to do, I understand, because you know, they said it was a matter of their health and safety. And I was like, okay, but, you know, I really wish we could have talked about this before you resorted to, I don't know, calling your landlord. Like, he's notoriously hard to get a hold of. Like, everybody in this neighborhood has tried. So, like, you could have just texted me or walked next door. I don't fucking know. Let me know that this was somehow a recurring problem. I didn't know about this. Like, we've been keeping an eye on the dog. I'm sorry. I guess I am the asshole in this situation. But, yeah, their landlord told them to call the police so that they would have a paper trail. And she goes, well, we didn't realize that, you know, the police would contact animal services. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but that's what happens when you make calls about animals. The police don't deal with animals, and if they do, it is with very swift and vengeful justice, if you know what I mean. Like, what were you expecting? And so, yeah, I'm really upset, but frankly, we found a solution that I am very, very incredibly unhappy about, but it's what needs to be done. My husband pulled out another credit card with, apparently it's got a high enough limit that we can get the fence fixed now. But, yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, so that's been a lot of my week, just, you know, posing by myself, working in a store full of people who are already getting into that oh-so-lovely Christmas shopper spirit, if you know what I mean. Everybody's getting a little extra saltier and a little bit more Karen as each hour passes on the holiday countdown clock. And well, yeah, it's been
all I can say is I bet you were just waiting for Black Friday.
If you ever say those words in my presence again, I'm going to get there to New York before I'm supposed to and cut your fucking tongue out and make you choke on it. I am so anti-Black Friday that I don't shop on Friday. I don't go out at all. Like, I become a hobbit or a hermit on Black Friday because I feel so bad for the retail workers. Because, yes, I've worked Black Fridays before.
And unfortunately, you may do so again.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. No clue, but I'm sure I will. That is how it goes.
No, I'm with you. I stay inside, and when I was working retail, we were so niche anyway that it didn't register. You know, working at a music store, not much you do with Black Friday. Trust me.
I can only imagine.
So that's
been my week. And I'm going to keep this one kind of short because it's actually, now that I think about it a lot, it's pretty personal to me. But I have a lot of trauma and phobia associated with oral surgery and the dentist in general because of some things that happened. Well, I had 15 years worth of intense oral surgery and mouth work done, all for it to be ruined by a dentist who did not surgically remove my wisdom teeth. But it was also, he was a very rough, he was a very harsh dentist. And I have, up until this point, spent the last 2 weeks with the most intense headache of my life that has not gone away. Nothing has touched it. I have dealt with tooth pain before, like 100,000 times before. It's no problem. Pop some antibiotics, pop some Tylenol, you're fucking fine. No, nothing was touching it for 2 solid weeks. I couldn't even fucking concentrate. So I had to, through multiple panic attacks and one full and complete breakdown that day, had to make an appointment with an emergency dentist whom was a sedation dentist, but unfortunately they were out of my network and I guess did not want me to have to pay for sedation, so they did not sedate me, and I was reliving a lot of trauma to get this mouth stuff done. But they did a lot of intense, horrible, terrible things as dentists are wont to do, but he was the nicest, most wonderful and caring man I've ever met in my life. Their music selection did not suck. So even though I was sitting there silently sobbing the entire 2 hours they were working on me, just fat tears streaming down my face and doing everything I could just to lie completely still because they were working on my fucking teeth and it's painful. It turns out that a lot of people who have the same trauma story that I have about dentists, he's noticed, are resistant to the numbing medication. And it turns out I am very, very resistant to the numbing medication, like incredibly resistant. It made a lot of sense why it used to hurt me so bad going to the dentist because, well, if any of you have ever had an old school dentist like mine, they're all, you know, you can't feel that, shut up. And so, yeah, if you've ever had a fucking drill go into the nerve of your fucking mouth with no real painkiller numbing it, it's a type of pain that cannot be described because it cannot be recreated in any other way, and it is the most intense, horrible feeling in the world.
Dental pain is the worst thing in the world. I agree 100%.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets more intense because the dental pain comes from things like cavities getting to the nerves and such. Well, that's just a cavity eating on the outside of the nerve. Like, imagine a drill going entirely through it.
Oh, yeah.
That is a kind of pain that cannot be described, other than for all you ladies out there, I have had children with and without medication, and let's just say I would rather go through labor unmedicated than ever experience that kind of pain again. So if that says anything about the brevity of the situation and my fear / actual honest to God, this is not a joke. I am not making light of this situation. It is something that I have seen a therapist about. I have a dental phobia because of what happened to me when I was a kid. All of this, you know, 15 years of intense fucking oral trauma and only to have it ruined because he never surgically removed my wisdom teeth, and they came in under the gums and sideways and pushed all of my teeth back together and started breaking them out. So, yeah, that's why I've had a really fucked up mouth for 20 years is I had 15 years worth of dental work done and had it almost instantly ruined. So, yay, that's why you never see Rachel smiling in pictures. But we're working on that. I have insurance now. Now, finding a dentist that will actually accept it is another story, but that is where the fucking Christmas miracle in this story comes around. And Carl, you said something earlier, and I need to correct you. I love Christmas. Like, with my family, doing the shit, all of that. I don't like the Christmas season. I don't like the Christmas hype. I don't like the Christmas holiday. I don't like any of that bullshit. But I love Christmas.
Family. Gotcha.
Yeah. Baking weird shit, giving people presents. I love that part. So, yeah, for me, this is kind of like, Jesus, this is like a Christmas fucking miracle, man. Again, I was paying out of pocket, and at this point, like, I just told him, I was like, I have a credit card. I have to get this done right now, like, since I'm in the office, because, oh, it was a horrible time even getting there that morning. They scheduled me an appointment that day, but it was after I called 5 other dentists, and the first one was just a normal dentist, and I broke down on the phone so hard, like, I didn't realize it, and she could tell by the quiver in my voice, apparently, that I was terrified. And she kept asking me, honey, are you going to be okay? And I was like, no. Really? But this has to happen. And that's when she explained to me sedation dentistry, and they have places here in Memphis to do that. And I was like, okay. So I start looking at all these places. None of them take my insurance. This place does take my insurance for certain things, so whatever. And then I lose my keys. And I spent all this time looking for my keys to the point I wasn't going to make it to the appointment, and I called them back and let them know, and I'm still sobbing and just feeling horrible, and yeah, and she already knew what was going on, that it had to be, I was terrified, and they were like, look, we've already got everything rigged up for you, just go ahead and come on in. And because I found my keys while I was on the phone with the lady. She calmed me down a little bit, and I found them in the weirdest place ever, but I did find them. Went into the dentist's office, and they were like, okay, so we don't take your insurance, so what do you want to do? And I was like, dude, I just made it here. And she's like, I know. Like, the place that we know takes your insurance is just, like, right across the street. You can whatever you want to do. And I was like, dude, no, I think I'm already here. Like, this has to happen right now, or it's not going to happen. Like, just see what we can do. She's like, okay, cool. So, yeah, I go back there. They see what they can do. They tell me after doing some x-rays and some looking around and things like that that, you know, they were going to have to do, like, a root canal and some things like that. And she looked at me and was like, okay, look, you know, root canals can be pretty expensive. And I was like, yeah, I know. So how about we just do, like, the cheapest option that'll fix me just at least temporarily. I don't know, throw some antibiotics at me, whatever, punch me in the fucking face professionally because, you know, you're a doctor, whatever we got to do. But, yeah. And so, again, I had just been silently sobbing the whole time, and I'm going to go ahead and confess to everyone, yes, I am a 38-year-old woman, and I brought my little stuffed animal, baby bunny, from my childhood that got me through all my other dental appointments and torture. He was there with me. I was a pretty fucking pitiful picture, I think, because they numbed me up, they did a bunch of shit, and the dentist leaned down when everything was fairly well done and was like, hey, I'm just going to let you know that I didn't tell you what I did because I didn't want to terrify you any further, but I went ahead and did the root canal. And you've got some more, you know, like pieces up here and stuff, you know, from other, you know, tooth injuries that I've had from grinding and chomping pretty hard. He's like, I can go ahead and, you know, pull those pieces out since you're still numb, and I don't really want to charge you for that either. And I was like, either what? And I was like, I mean, just whatever your professional opinion is, man, do what you got to do. And he pulled those pieces out, and it made a hilarious picture in my brain because, yeah, I had this picture of him, like, bracing himself on the table, like, with his foot up and trying to yank these shards out, because he did at one point have to stand up and brace himself to get this, like, yank this piece out. So I at least found the humor in the situation, and then I found the fucking angels in the situation when I found out that he decided to do about $3,000 worth of dental work on me for the price of my radial x-ray, which was $200. And he told me that he hoped it would be the beginning of a gift from the dental world to make up for all the trauma I had already experienced, but hopefully getting me out of pain, and this would be a good beginning.
Wow.
And then I started crying even harder, and I was like, no, I'm crying even harder, but it's for a different reason. So, yeah, that was that. I actually did get a little bit more personal with that story than I expected, guys. And so thank you for letting me share that, because I kind of needed to get that off my chest, too. I did. I sobbed the entire 2 hours. Did not move a fucking muscle except when he was out of my mouth, or the one time I winced really hard because apparently the numbing agent was wearing off. Yeah, and he was incredibly surprised because apparently he had doubled my dose, my initial dose, just to be nice. Like, he was like, you know, we're going to make sure this does not hurt at all. After this first initial part that's a little painful, but it's not bad. I think you can deal with it. You know, you're good. He's like, you won't feel anything for the rest of the day. No, that was not the case. And he went ahead and put more in there. Okay, cool. I'm numb for about halfway through the procedure, and then I'm being incredibly still, except for just giant tears streaming down my face again. I'm working every which way I can to breathe steadily so that I don't, like, sniffle and hitch while he's in my mouth. I was laying there on the table terrified for 2 hours and just reliving a lot of fucking oral-based trauma. And, yeah. I can't even... It was a crazy experience. You know, I was a big fucking baby. I had my stuffed animal I had since I was 2 years old with me. I whipped it out on the table and just, like, squeezed it the whole time. Not even going to lie. But I'm really fucking proud of myself for making it through that. And I just, I'm not going to say any names here because I did not clear it with them. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention them on the podcast or not, but they work in a very weird, specific area of a very specific town out here that has really weird regulations about things. So I'm not going to say any names, but just know that I was incredibly blessed. So I know a bunch of you out there are praying for me, because it couldn't have just been you and my mom, Carl. I swear to God, that was a miracle of the century for me, that I even made it to that visit.
Yep.
So,
and by the way, we have a visitor. So would someone like to say hello?
Well, should I say hello?
It's my honey.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening. You two have gone through a week from hell. I'm trying to think, what's the worst thing that happened to me this week? Well, we had a patient die on us, but that's about it.
Oh, geez.
I mean,
ridiculously bad, dude.
Oh, it's so fucking stupid that we even took this guy. Took him from a hospital. We're supposed to take him to hospice to die. Nurses, I don't even know why they're letting this guy go. And sure enough, halfway through the trip, my partner yells from the back of the ambulance and says, this guy's coding. Okay. And he had a DNR, so dead body at the hospice, and you know, roll the guy in dead, and here you go. You deal with it.
Your turn. So, tag your it.
Yeah. So and then I was thinking, but then when today I made a weed run up the Seneca Reservation in New York, and I always go to this one dispensary, and I always get a pre-roll for the ride home. Guy says, I'll take two. They're small. I won't even charge you. So I got two pre-rolls for the way back. So it's been a good week.
Nice.
And Thursday, I don't know if you know, Rachel, but Carl knows, I was actually able to use my left fingers to play my bass guitar.
I saw that, and I was going to tell you, I'm super fucking happy for you.
I know.
See, you've been having, like,
you've been having
a few months from hell.
Yeah, I had a mini stroke first of October, and it's kind of gone downhill since then. But my whole left side's still a little weak, but I got a little more dexterity back in my left fingers, so I can actually play it. That was the worst part. You know, I got 62 strings along the wall over there going, when the fuck are you going to pass? And they just, those guitars keep looking at me, and I keep looking at them. I'm working on it, I'm working on it. But I was actually able to play a couple songs. They were easy songs. I mean, nothing major, and I still can't get a sixth string. I can't get my fingers to get on the sixth string the way they need to be, but I did okay with a bass guitar, so that's a start.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, see, that is a great thing because, like I said, you know,
I started out with a dead guy and worked all the good stuff in afterwards.
Hell yeah.
So it all worked out. Sorry,
well, you know that old
wives, you're crazy, so.
That old wives saying, you know, when you start your week off with a dead guy, it's only uphill from there.
Well, that's for sure. That was Tuesday, my first day on. It's like, oh, great. And then one of these weeks, you know. But that was the only bad one. He's about 320 pounds. He wasn't as bad as the guy. There's a guy last year that we took home to have hospice. And we carried this guy all the way to his house in the back of the ambulance. You know, he was out. Couldn't pay attention to us whatsoever, what we were doing. He had no idea. We had to carry him up 14 steps. And as soon as we put him in bed, he died. It's like, you motherfucker, you could die at the bottom of the steps. Yeah. Oh, wow. I really am care. I do care. But, you know, you fucker. Good and bad at the bottom of the set. And there's another one, nurses. I don't know why he's leaving. Yeah. We get a lot of those guys. People are just like right on the edge of it. And we only have to make them maybe a 3 or 4 mile trip. And they don't make it. So, but we get paid. So, yeah. Somebody more important than us makes that decision.
May I just say, what you do as an EMT, you know, a lot of people don't realize what you guys go through, and we should all give you a great bow of thanks for everything you guys do. Seriously.
Thank you. One of our biggest problems is dealing with the higher-ups, the people, the person that made that decision, like the social worker, I will send them to a hospice. You know, they don't listen to the nurses and the people who see this guy every day. They think this fucking guy shouldn't go anywhere, you know? And we don't know. Huh. We're like, I always say that I'm like, the thing I don't like about my job, I'm like the middleman, you know? I don't see what put him in this position. And I don't, you know, and I don't see the end result. I see the middle. I move them from the hospital to the therapy or to the hospice or whatever. Let's see if they get better or anything. It was funny, a couple of years ago, I was at the grocery store, and this guy comes up and starts talking to me. And finally, I just said to him, how do I know you? He goes, oh, you took me off from the hospital 3 years ago. Oh, well, I'm glad to see you're good. You know, you only have one person to remember, the guy that took you home. I got 3,000 to remember. So,
yeah,
you know, good to see you standing and everything. I don't remember why, you know, why I had to transport you or anything. You know, I don't see the end result. I don't see the happy endings or anything like that. I just see what happens, you know, except for maybe, you want to know the worst thing I do? The absolute worst thing I do is we get sent to a hospital to pick up somebody that is technically dead. Their body's still alive. We're feeding them oxygen and all this stuff and keeping their body alive, but technically they're brain dead. And we pick them up to take them to harvest their organs. Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, you see this person's laying there breathing. They got a death certificate and all that, you know. And a lot of times we got to sit there for a couple hours and wait for a doctor to come in and call them dead so we can transport them. Last one I had, she's 48 years old. She died from huffing that shit you use to clean your keyboard, you know, that spray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was huffing that.
Jesus.
It killed her. Yeah. So we had to sit there and wait, and the family's waiting, and this is a pain in the ass, you know. You're looking at this lady and these people, and they're, you know, they got a death certificate, and they're technically dead. There's no way they're coming back alive. And we're just taking them to the organ center so they can, you know, cut them open. It's really weird.
That's the worst drug thing I've seen in most of my life.
Yeah.
Was I knew a guy who was so bad off that he and his buddy were huffing air duster, and
yeah,
it was ridiculous. I'm sure he overdosed on it at some point.
Oh,
and,
sure. Yeah,
and it scared the shit out of me. Like I left them both there and just fucking killed themselves.
Oh,
well, there's, you know, there's so many things out there that you can do that on, you know. These fucking kids have figured out Tide Pods. They get high doing Tide Pods. I don't know if they cut them open or whatever they do with them. But, you know, it's just shit like that. Or like the bath salts. You know, they had to outlaw bath salts. Just people are fucking getting high on that shit. You know, it's just so weird. The things that are available to these people. It really
I hate to tell you this, TC, but it was our generation that started with it. I'm just saying.
I know. I did my share of them, you know. I'm here to tell you about it, you know. I went to work the next morning. Yeah, I didn't rely on them. I didn't become... You know, my ER doctor told me when this whole thing happened on my left side, he said, are you a drinker? I said, no, I don't drink hardly at all. I think I've had one beer in the last year. I said, but I smoke pot every day. He goes, well, that's better than anything I'm going to prescribe you, because anything I try to prescribe you, you could become addicted to. You just keep smoking pot. Don't change a thing. You're fine. A doctor told me that.
Yeah.
I was lucky because when this happened to me, like my left side went completely paralyzed for about 15 minutes. And my first call, I called our dispatch. We had two medics in the area just a couple minutes away. And I already did my vitals and I was fine, you know. And they said, hey, let us take you to the Presby ER. So we went to the ER over there. And I know the ER doctor, he sees me all the time. And I know damn well they put me ahead of a lot of people. And he worked on me, and he just said, okay, it's just a freak thing. I see people in their 20s go through what you've gone through. He said, don't change a thing. It's not a lifestyle thing that's bringing it on. It's not your diet. It's nothing. It just happened. So.
Jesus.
That's it. Okay. You know, it's not, there's no permanent damage. I'm a little slow getting my hand back, but it's, I can see the progress. I know it's going to be fine. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of my friends on Facebook are like, well, we didn't know. You didn't tell anybody. No, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to worry about me because I know I was going to be fine.
Well, let me just say something which also happened to somebody else, so I can't really talk about right now. As far as I'm concerned, and as far as any of us here at DLN, you should tell us, because I'll tell you what. You know, as much as I had a difficulty this week, one of the things that I truly, truly think that keeps me going is worrying about other people and the people I care about and doing things that I can do to help them even as I'm going through crap. So, you know, you had told me, I was one of the few people you told.
You know, I told you right away.
Yeah.
But I also told you right away, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. Don't worry
but
about it.
I also told you to get to a chiropractor. You ever get to a chiropractor?
Yeah. I told one. I got an appointment Thursday.
Okay.
So.
Did you ever get that book that I told you to get?
You know, I ordered that, and they said it's not available at the time. So
okay.
When it is available, they're going to send it to me.
Okay.
But right now,
I tell you what, you're not going to find it. It's out of print.
Yeah, that's what you said. But everything I'm doing is it's working, and I think really if I can, if I stay with that bass guitar, using my fingers on that bass guitar, I think that helped me more than anything.
Well, you know, see what the chiropractor says. Okay, because they can definitely give you certain exercises in that. And that's what I was looking at when I suggested that Thinking Fingers book. Right?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing I'm squeezing a tennis ball all the time. Like I'm just driving down the road and squeezing a tennis ball. Hopefully I got a pair of those grips that you squeeze. I use those all the time. And it's not the hand as much as the fingers now. And it wasn't really, I don't know how to put it. It wasn't where I placed my fingers. It's if I had to strengthen them to hold something, like hold a string down for a while or something. So it's coming. We're back. Like right now I'm holding, I wouldn't even do this before, like 2 weeks ago, I'm holding my phone right now in my left hand. This is my bad hand. But I'm holding my phone. I've been holding my phone the whole time. Now, two weeks ago, I would have dropped it four or five times by now. You know? So that's progress.
Yeah. And to be patient about these things because, you know, musculature doesn't immediately snap back. You've got to work with it.
Right.
You know, and of course, I say that from experience.
One of the things I learned right away was when I stand up, I got to wait a second before I try to move. I got to make sure my balance is with me. Like if I go to stand up and move right away.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. I got to just make sure I got my balance before I do anything. So it's coming. We're going to be okay.
Good.
All right.
Good. So you know, just to let everyone know, you know, we've heard from TC and, of course, me and Rachel, but Eric's been going through some stuff. Of course, Josh got married, so that's really good. But, you know, everyone, you know, seems to have things that you have to go through. So,
it feels so good to get it off the chest, like Rachel said.
That's what I'm about to say.
You know, she got more personal than she planned on doing, but getting her off her chest really made her feel good. That's good.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
That's all right. Hey, you got two of your best friends on the phone right now.
This is true.
You can tell us anything.
Well, and you know, yeah. I'm telling the rest of the very few people that are probably listening right now, but yeah. I'm trying to make it better.
You know, Carl and I always have your back.
Oh,
no
absolutely.
Matter what. We can't do a lot of physical stuff, but we're there for you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that.
You know, and the other thing I do want to say to anyone who's listening or anyone who listens to this after we get off is that find someone to talk to, you know, and just get it off your chest, man. You know, and hopefully it's a friend that you're very close with. If not, there's always therapy, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's good to get it off your chest and bitch.
And
I certainly did that today.
Yeah, even if they look like they're not interested, they wouldn't be there if they weren't. So, you know, they are interested. You know, sometimes, I mean, we all have those friends that just bitch too much. They don't realize, you know, they got to have something happen to them, like Rachel at the dentist today or me, my left side, to know how lucky we are. You know, but it could be so much, and I see it every day. I see it all day long, you know, and it's just, and it hurts. You got to leave it in the parking lot when you get back at night. You got to forget about it. You got to come home, you got to smoke that joint, you got to do whatever you got to do to get your head out of work, because you can't take it home with you with that guy dying, you know.
No,
that would destroy other people. You can't let it bother you. You can't. As far, you know, it's a choice you made. It's what you do. Just anything, like anything goes wrong, seems to go wrong. And remember, it's a choice you made. Just like you and Rachel, that girl calling off and then quitting. Hey, you know, you could have been all bummed out about that. No, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that right there. I mean, you can't get an award or anything like that. It's what you chose to do. It's what you have to do. You know what to do in the right situation.
You know, it's just like what happened here with me. You know, I'm the one that took the reins and got things done. Now, certainly, you know, Angus helped and that sort of thing, but we're in a situation where most of the people here don't speak English. So, you know, between me and Angus, he worked out getting the people to get here. I'm doing all, like, the governmental stuff paying and make sure everybody, you know, gets paid and that we all take care of things. So, you know, it's a matter of doing what you can do, and hopefully you've got other people that are good at what they're doing, and get it all done by committee, you know. And luckily, that's what happened.
There you go. You got all in on that.
I think at this point we're ready to say goodnight. However, before we do, TC, you got a show tomorrow.
Yes.
Tell us what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to this. This took a ton of research. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oaks announced November 1st that he was going to, after a five-year hiatus, continue his Live at Daryl's House, which is one of, you look up any YouTube with any of the guest stars he's had and all the great songs they played and everything. And he's back at it. What I did was I went back and picked out my favorite songs over 84 episodes that he had. They're all on YouTube, by the way, and added them to my show. And my show is called Welcome Back, Daryl. And it's all Daryl Hall, special guest, his incredible house band. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. I hope everybody can join us. That'll be my last show for 2 weeks because I'm going to concerts the 2 weeks, Sundays after. And Carl's covering a week from tomorrow. Aren't you, Carl?
Yes, I am. And it's going to be new music. And Rachel will be talking about if you can join me on that one. That's sort of my second. But also, you've got the next Sunday off, and maybe we'll get a commentary watch or something set up for that, too.
That's wide open. That's wide open if you can. I'd love it. I'd rather somebody use that time than just let it go to waste.
Absolutely.
You know, but when I come back, this is day after my 66th birthday. You think that fucking
cool?
Oh,
you senior.
Yeah. December 2nd.
Yeah, and I'm gonna sing to you that Sunday, and
yeah.
I'm going to say, you're older than I am.
I am for, what, 2 months, a month?
Well, no, a month.
I think somewhere. But, yeah, that weekend, Friday night, which is December 1st, I am going to see Lucas Nelson and The Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson is Willie Nelson's son.
Oh, nice.
I've seen him back in 2017 at Farm Aid. He and The Promise of the Real, his band, they're great. In fact, they were Neil Young's backup band when Neil Young did his set, played all of Neil Young's songs. So I'm looking forward to that. That's Friday night, December 1st. December 2nd is my birthday. December 3rd, I'll be back on. So, there we have it. And the two concerts I'm going to next week, I'm going to go see The Elevators at Mr. Smallhouse. And the week after that, I'm going to see Bush at Stage
Lord.
E. So there
we
have
it. You lucky bastard. I mean, I know I say that all the time, but you know how I feel about your music, TC.
I know. I
Kissy
still
face
got six shows left. Yeah, I still got six shows left of this year, so... I end up with I'm waiting right now for the right show to drop at Red Rocks in Colorado, and then I can plan my vacation around that. So there you have it. Enough about me.
Absolutely. So,
and hopefully the next time you guys talk to me, I'll be in perfect shape.
Of course you
will.
I'm
gonna talk
You're a
to
fucking
you tomorrow,
god among men, TC.
You betcha. Nothing's going to kick
Absolutely.
My ass.
Absolutely.
Ha ha. All right. What do you got going on,
so,
Rachel?
So right now, I think what we're going to do is we're going to head off. I want to thank Rachel and our listeners and that. And TC, stick around for a second.
Okay.
Because we're going to do a song at the end. And this one is now my theme song for the month because – I ain't going to be treated that way anymore. Landlord, you are on notice.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All
ain't
right.
going to be treated like that
All
no
right.
more by Diane Davidson.
Beautiful. I'll see that when you send it to me.
Treated this way, no. Oh, like a lamb.
ain't gonna be treated this way, no, 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 no.
About you, TC, but that song kicked ass.
Oh man, that song reminds me of just, well, first of all, Diana, she's just a buried treasure of Nashville. She's
mm-hmm.
somebody that she should be at the top, and she just went about her business. I mean, she's over 70 years old, I think. And
well, that album
rolling.
From 1972.
Yeah.
She's probably over 80 at this point.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Great show.
All right, man.
Great.
Listen, take care. We'll
Great
see
show.
You tomorrow.
All right. We'll talk to you later, folks.
All right, man.
We'll see you now.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.